This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to That's Not How I Start This Show. I like fall back into how we started shows 4 million years ago. No. Welcome, Lucha Lushes. This is Timothy Robert Buckner, your host, as we talk about interviewing people. I guess last week you might be thrown off. The last episode that came out was an interview show, but we're doing back-to-back interviews. That's kind of because things are a little bit different here. Now, last week, we got into beer talk a little bit with a buddy who's up in Portland, obviously, Andy LeBray is his name. He obviously, being from Portland, was into beers slightly, because it's like requisite for living up there at this point. We talked about it a little bit there, but I figured, why not expound on that just a little bit and get deeper into the beer culture, as that's kind of part of what the show is about as well, and bring on some beer podcasters for the first time. This week's guests are from the fantastic SD Beer Talk. I guess San Diego Beer Talk is the official name. I always think of it as SD Beer Talk.
Yeah, San Diego Beer Talk for the long term, and then SD Beer Talk for short. All the social media is SD Beer Talk.
Yes, and that voice that you're hearing is Greg. I'm sorry, Greg. Do you have like a full name that you go by, or?
Greg is perfectly fine. It's short. It's easy, and for the most part, it's either Greg or Craig for the beer tenders out there.
Yes. See, that's why I always answer the phone as Timothy. Timothy is a lot easier to not get mixed up when you're hearing it just on the phone or at the beer bars, as you say. And joining him as his co-host on San Diego Beer Talk is Brian. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, man. Thank you for having us on your show.
All right. Well, so to start it off, here. I figured. Oh, and of course, my co-host Adrian Adelatore is here tonight. Adrian,
yes. How you doing?
How are you this evening?
Good, good, good. Nice to be here with all you guys.
Good, good. So I'm going to start it off. I thought it would only be, because we can't be in person, it would only be correct for me to be drinking a San Diego beer while I interview you guys. So I have from Toolbox Brewing, the purple drink that I've been saving for probably too long, that I just got in the can release just recently. It does say drink fresh. Is a month not fresh anymore when it comes to a sour? I guess we'll find out.
So for this beer, a month is absolutely no problem at all. You could probably even go out 3-4 months and it wouldn't affect the taste that much. The fruit might fall off a touch at that point, 3-4 months, but you're right in the prime of that beer's life, and great beer to start off with. Most people from out of San Diego would not have gone to a Toolbox type of beer right out the gate. Well done, guys.
Well, to be fair, it's because I had it still waiting in the fridge. I actually had this beer a while back on tap out here at the Lucky Baldwin, and it was totally different. Then I got it in the bottle from Sunset Beer Co. after I had already had it on tap. I was so excited. And then when I saw that they were putting it in cans, I was just like, well, it's only $20 to get it delivered. So I just figured, hey, why not? And so they've just been, I've had a couple sitting around because unfortunately, you know how you can get backed up on beers with so many fresh hops that you got to crush as quickly as possible, right?
Absolutely. I actually completely stopped buying hoppy beer for my house for that reason. I have way too much beer in the house. I never get to hoppy beer. So I drink hoppy beer on the show and out at bars.
That's gonna maybe have to be my new thing. Is I'm just gonna buy less of these hoppy beers because they take, you know, to me they take precedence. So then all my other stuff just sits there, underutilized, neglected, I guess. So normally the first question on the show would be, are you now or have you ever been a member of the PWO board, Pro Wrestling Only board, which is the fine hosting website of our podcast or an affiliate host of our podcast. But I would assume neither of you guys being hardcore wrestling fans, you are not.
No, definitely not.
That's a very safe assumption. I've never belonged to any wrestling digital media of any kind.
But, well, that's refreshing.
So here, yes. But so, okay, so I'm gonna just go with neither of you guys wrestling fans. Doesn't really matter.
Well, I would say, like, I was a wrestling fan back at, like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan era. So, like, when I was 17, 18. So, you know, 25 years ago. But I would not call myself a current wrestling fan.
Okay. Actually, you know what? This beer tastes even better now than it did when I drank it right when it was fresh. I think it actually aged well in the can. That's shocking. But what I can do is, part of the idea of this show was just supposed to be kind of about, your history in online nerddom kind of culture. So, I mean, you guys obviously, you host a beer podcast. So,
yeah, we got the nerd thing covered.
Yeah, and the kind of the digital side of it. So, I guess let's start with Greg. Greg, like, what was your exposure to kind of internet beer culture being a thing? I would assume you were already into craft beer before you were on, you know, forums talking about beer. So what was kind of that crossover for you?
Well, yeah, I'm a fairly late bloomer when it comes to people who enjoy San Diego beer. A coworker of mine gave me my first taste of San Diego craft beer, and that just kind of sparked my love of the craft. And then also, I had done a couple podcasts before, so I figured, why not do a beer podcast? So I didn't really get much into the social media aspect of it all until really doing the show, because at that point, I followed people, did my Instagram, my Untappd check-ins, all that kind of stuff. But until the show came on, you know, the more people you react to you and talk with you online, you know, the more pleasure you kind of get out of doing it. Plus, I met a lot of people online. I mean, most of the people I know today, I've met online and not actually in person first, which seems to be kind of the culture today. But it also is cool because you know that when you meet up, you know, randomly at some bar or some brewery, you have the same interest, which is really what binds all of us in this kind of craft beer culture.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So for you, you were not like on beer forums back in the day talking about like, I don't know what, Canteon or whatever random beers that you just were like wishing you could get your hands on or trying to trade and stuff like that.
Not me. I like I said, I'm pretty new to this whole thing. Brian always likes to laugh whenever I tell my first beer story because it was like a Stone IPA, which, you know, still fairly new in the whole grand scheme of things. And so if you want beer geekery and all that, of course, Brian's going to be the man.
All right. Well, that's going to be the next question, I guess, Brian, because you've been, you know, like same question, basically. You've been at it a little bit longer. Do you go back to the kind of the dark ages of the beer web? Were you involved in that at all?
100%. Probably been trading beer. Actually, I haven't traded beer in a couple of years because really I proved that all the best beer is either available or made here in San Diego. But all that being said, yes, I was a rate beer geek, a beer advocate geek, you know, 10 years ago, arguing out whether Canteon or Westelverden 12 was the best beer in the world. And all that got really stale to me eventually. But I found incredible love for the craft beer culture and industry we have here in San Diego. And that's what led to me becoming a craft beer blogger about 8 years ago. And then I joined with Greg on this podcast roughly a year and a half ago and 120 episodes ago.
Nice. Wow. Adrian, do you have any follow-up questions kind of about this part of it?
Yeah, first of all, I love your guys' logo, by the way. It's like so genius. It's like a simple idea, a beer and a microphone put together. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Well, we got really lucky. Thank you, first off. And secondly, we got really lucky. We have a local craft beer artist named Craft Beard. His name is Rudy. And he worked with us on the logo with Greg when he started SD Beer Talk. And like you said, simple, elegant, straight to the point. Conveys that we talk about beer just from a graphic image.
Yeah, I love it. What I wanted to ask Greg, apparently, and this I might have to bend your ear a little bit about this after the show, but since I have you on here now, apparently you're an Apple specialist. Do you have the iPhone 10? And if not, what do you think about the iPhone 10? I know it's not kind of related to beer, but I'm really curious because I was reading your bio on your website here.
I don't currently. I'm hoping for like some Christmas money to help me purchase that $1,200 phone.
I laugh at him because I'm holding my brand new Note 8 that I got yesterday, which might as well be the same phone.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have a notch though.
No
notch.
No, but from what I've seen I have gone to the Apple Store and tried it out, of course, and from people that I know that have it of it. The notch really is not that big of an issue. It kind of goes away peripherally, you know, once you use the phone. I'm really curious about Face ID. Everyone says it's better than Touch ID, but I don't know. That's not having the button there. Ugh, that's kind of scary to me.
Yeah. Well, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but the Samsung phones these days have some amazing OLED screens. My brother-in-law was in town, and I was looking at his Note phone, and I was, like, amazed at how nice the screen was. But anyway, not to go off on too much of a tangent on that, I was going to say what an app that's available on the iPhone X, it's available on lots of devices, is the Untapped app, which you can follow us on, Tim. Follow me at Della Boots. Follow Tim at Lucha Undead. And, yeah, I was going to say, Tim, you should be proud of me because this past weekend I went to a brewery, and I did the same thing the weekend before that. I've been trying to go to different breweries every weekend. And you can check out what we're drinking on there as well. Are you guys on Untappd, by the way? Do you guys use that app at all?
Yes, I am SD Bertalk, and Brian, you're Sora Suds.
I'm Sora Suds.
Nice.
Which the Lucha Undead account does follow both of you guys, and definitely get a bit jealous when I see the weekly brunch trips to Tiger Tiger from Brian here, which is just seems phenomenal every time.
Tiger Tiger is the fucking best, and if you guys ever make it to San Diego, mandatory stop. Whether it's brunch, lunch, dinner, or in between, amazing beer list, tremendous food, great people, fun atmosphere, just one of the best craft beer bars in the world, let alone excels at being one here.
Get the poutine.
Okay.
Ooh, I like poutine. I had
now,
that for the first
it,
time. Sorry.
How does it compare to the poutine from Alpine? Because I'm like really wanting to get out to Alpine to try that as well.
Okay, so they're different. Tiger Tiger's poutine is wood fired in a wood fire oven, so you get kind of a smoky quality that you don't get from Alpine's. What makes Alpine's unique is that every week they make a different gravy, and so I would say if I had to pick, I would say advantage Alpine, but only barely.
Okay. Well, I mean, I am a connoisseur of the gravies, so both good and bad. I don't discriminate against gravies. I don't even mind if they're red. Sorry. I'm kind of being an idiot. So, and it's also awkward for me. And I'm just going to put it out there though, because we're interviewing both of you guys. So that's just not how we normally do it. But it's also really fun because I think you guys have a great dynamic. So speaking of that dynamic, I guess you didn't meet on, Beer Advocate. How did you guys get together to decide to start doing the podcast? What kind of happened there?
So the podcast started with me and a lady called Melinda Hooker, or, she's like actually just called Hooker. But that's kind of the personality she had. Imagine a Howard Stern beer podcast where she's Howard Stern and I'm Robin, even though she's a black lady and I'm a white male. it was cool for a little while, except that she went off on like 15, 20 minute tangents and eventually would, get back to the question to our guest. But, that got old a little quick. And the feedback I was getting was, some of our listeners were not very happy about that. And so it just so happened that she got busy with life. She couldn't come to the shows anymore. And I did it alone by myself for a couple of episodes. In the meantime, I had gone to a couple of the Sari Cup competitions that Brian holds for the best beer in San Diego. And he had been on the show a couple times as a guest co-host. And I basically just reached out one day. I'm like, I don't want to do this alone anymore. It's a lot of work for one person. So I might as well reach out to someone who enjoys beer, well, more than I do, and also has a good contact list of people that he's met over the years. So,
okay, that's pretty
good.
Yeah,
so he used me for my Rolodex and my brain.
That's what I was going to say, Brian. I mean, that we get Greg's side of the story, but what was in it for you? Why were you hopping on board this, gravy train?
So a couple of things. Number one, I fucking love talking about beer, and it's something that I find incredibly effortless. Number two, also, I was using him in reverse. He had a completely different network and connection set than I did. Thirdly, blogging is fucking dead. And I don't mean that in a bad way. No one goes to a website and reads an in-depth article anymore. It just, my website traffic was dying. This is a year and a half ago. Now my website traffic is like compared to where I used to be 4 or 5 years ago. And honestly, when I joined, I was a little apprehensive. I didn't know necessarily that I would enjoy it as much. Really know that I could constantly keep the episodes fresh and changing and morphing, but I have found all of those things incredibly effortless, and I'm really stoked that I did get invited to the show, and it's worked out great for me.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that, the way like I said, this is my third podcast, and I've done podcasts where I am the sole content creator of that podcast. This one was purposely an interview-based podcast where most of the material is the brewer or the owner or the beer tender or whatever it is that we're interviewing. You know, or the bulk of it is the person we're interviewing. And so what that's great for is like someone like Brian coming in, you know, new to podcasting, he could, you know, have his say on beers that we drink or what his opinions are of a brewery. However, really, it's about learning from the brewer or the owner, what their experience is. And so that takes a lot of weight off of your shoulders.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. And I want to get into kind of this talk about the content that you were creating on podcasts where you were doing it yourself. But I want to take a second because you did mention that the dynamic of your interview, I guess, interview style is kind of loose there on the show, I would say. Would you, I guess, take offense to me saying that it's kind of SD Beer Talk is a loose interview show. It's not, I wouldn't say that the focus is necessarily hard hitting interviews.
No, not at all. No offense. And that's kind of on purposeful. So our goal is not to be some kind of hard hitting investigative journalism where we're like trying to get people on our show to set them up and get them to say something or convey a negative message. There is so much to talk about in San Diego beer that we have decided to focus more on the positive side of things, more on the fun side of things. Often people forget this shit is fucking fun. It's fun to hang out with your buddies at a bar and drink some amazing beer. It's fun to dissect it. It's fun to talk about. And then so, you know, we kind of look at our interviews as our process is more to convey that every brewery has a story. Every brewery has a message. Our goal is to convey that story and that message to a listener that may not have tried this brewery before. And hopefully we can help each new brewery that we interview reach an audience that we hadn't reached before.
And okay. I'll add a little bit to that just to say that we purposefully don't interview places we don't like. I mean, just to say, like, if we know the place serves bad beer or for whatever reason we don't get along with the people who work there or own the place, you know, we probably won't have them on the show just because we're all about the positivity of craft beer here in San Diego and what it's done for the city.
One thing I really do enjoy about the style, the interview style that you guys have is that Greg almost kind of plays good cop and Brian sometimes is the bad cop, I feel. I like Greg and like I love your attitude.
Maybe
it's, and I love it, and it does work because of Brian having such a dearth of history knowledge and stuff that he kind of is more aggressive, calls people out more, has stuff to say, while also being like, you know, not being a dick or anything. But it is a really nice dynamic that you guys play off there that brings a good personality to the show in general. So I just wanted to, I guess, just let you know I really appreciate that. But what we'll do now is take a quick break, unless, Adrian, you had any other questions you wanted to ask?
I do, but I think we'll save it for the next segment.
Okay, so we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
All right, we're back with San Diego Beer Talk Radio. Guys, got to ask you this. We can start with either Greg or Brian, doesn't matter. If you guys were a beer style, what beer style would you be and why?
So I'm from San Diego, so I got to go with IPA, overhopped, completely bitter, loud in your face, and not ashamed to say all of that.
All right. What about you, Brian?
That was Brian, by
the
way.
Oh, sorry. What about you, Greg? Sorry.
I'm going to go session IPA. I have a little bit of flavor, but everyone likes me.
Oh, that's a good answer right there.
Okay, it kind of plays off the dynamic I said. Now, to stick with Adrian's theme of dating game style questions, if you were to make whoopee with one beer, so I kind of wanted to talk about, I'll ask the middle question. I'll just do it because Adrian had his own. The middle question is, are you allergic to anything? So we can start with Greg. Are you allergic to anything?
I am not, that I know of.
Brian, are you allergic to anything? You can't say
I
bad
as well,
beer.
I have no known allergies.
No known drug allergies. That is confirmed. I'll mark that down on your vitals here. So I wanted to ask Greg about your history. You said you were making podcasts where you were the kind of sole content creator. What was your history in podcasting? I kind of want to hear about that.
So the first one was actually me and my boss at the time. I was working as a Mac consultant. So basically it was the guy who, you know, had owned the company for 10 years, decided to bring me on as the day-to-day guy while he, you know, focused on business stuff. And we did a show called Command I. So if you've ever been in the Macintosh world, Command I is the get info option. And so basically we did a 30-minute to hour-long show where we talked about, you know, news in the Apple world and also helping people who emailed us about problems with their Mac.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, so that's something, can we get into that a little bit? Well, what drew you to that? I mean, obviously, just reading your bio here, you're an Apple fanboy, but I mean, what was it about doing that made you pursue it to the point where you were able to do it? Like, you know, what drew you to it?
Well, basically growing up, my dad is a professor at a community college down here in San Diego. And so he had the Apple IIe, the SE30, the Performa, you know, basically all of the Apple computers going way back.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I was probably 1 or 2 years old banging on keys as a kid. And it wasn't until my teenage years that I finally, you know, just because of finance working at McDonald's, that I, you know, went out and bought a PC and, of course, learned, you know, the Windows side of things. But then, you know, going into my 20s, I decided to go back to the Mac and I've been there ever since. And, you know, just basically using it for almost my entire life. It's diagnosing it and fixing it. It's easy. But, you know, to the rest of the world, as many of you are aware, it can be frustrating and you almost want to throw your computer across the room sometimes.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I wouldn't call myself a super Apple fanboy, but then sometimes like I look at myself and I'm like, well, I have a MacBook, I have an Apple Watch, I have an iPad, I have an iPhone.
You can stop. You're an Apple fanboy.
Exactly. That's cool though. I how do you like? I mean, would you say it's easier to troubleshoot Apple stuff than PC stuff? Because that's always kind of been the case. Like, oh, you know, they say Apple stuff just works, but obviously that's not necessarily true. But do you still think it's easier to troubleshoot Apple products in Android or PC stuff?
So for the security of my job, no, it's really, really hard to troubleshoot Apple computers. From what my experience is, and by the way, my experience for Windows is limited, unfortunately, mainly to my teenage years and a little bit in my adult life. But so I would say, yes, it's much easier to troubleshoot the Apple computers or the Mac operating system, mainly because the underpinning for all you geeks out there is Unix. And if you know Unix and you know how to control it and how to run the proper commands, you can do a lot more with the operating system than you can in the GUI. And for all you non-technical people, I'm sorry, those are all terms that you probably don't know what it means.
I have a very basic understanding of what they mean, but I couldn't in practice do them myself. I'll just say that. I knew that Apple was based in Unix. Is that what you said, right? Unix? Linux? Or
yes,
Unix.
Unix.
What's the difference between Linux and Unix? I know that's a stupid question, but I have to know. Well, is there a difference? Or I mean, obviously there is, but...
Yeah, Unix was created back in the 1970s, and then what happened is it split off into many, many factions. People thought they could do it better, so it kind of just split off. But Unix is still the core like operating system of all Unix and Linux operating systems. Linux is just more of a user-friendly. It usually has a much better GUI. Unix, in the heart of it all, is just command line. So what happened is over time, time, you know, Red Hat and other companies came out with some, you know, really kick-ass, you know, GUIs, which basically is the interface that most people are used to, right? You click a mouse and all that kind of stuff to do what you do. It's not command line. And, you know, and for a while, some companies tried to sell PCs with Linux pre-installed, and I think their user base unfortunately regretted buying those at, you know, some point in time, because it just, you don't have the same compatibility you do, of course, with the Windows or a Mac. So
right. So really quick. So Linux is, last time I checked, is a, it's an open sourced OS. Is that correct?
Yeah, in its core, it is. There are probably some companies, like I said, Red Hat and so forth. It's still open source, but there probably are some proprietary technologies that they're using on top of that. But in its core, anyone can build a Unix or a Linux kernel and build their own operating system if they really want to. It takes a lot of time and a lot of coding, but you can do it.
Right. So let me ask you this. So you know how there's like the whole PC master race thing, but some people would probably think that if you're a true computer nerd programmer type, like Linux would be your OS to use, right?
Yeah, it's definitely the geek operating system. If you like tinkering, if you know what you're doing, you like, you know, and what it comes down to is if you like, you know, Googling things, or you like looking things up, you like learning how to why things run the way they do on a computer, then you want, you know, Linux or something like that, because you can actually understand why that program launches the way it does, or why, you know, when you type this command, it deletes a whole folder of items, or whatever it is, right? You know, so it's definitely for the geek community, people who like to tinker and so forth. Kind of like cars, right? Some people take their car and to get their oil changed. Some people do it themselves. Some people replace, you know, rebuild their entire engine, right? It's all those types of things.
Right. So it's for the Wozniaks of the world. Let me ask you this. What's the beer master race? What's the beer that true beer, now putting this out to the room, what's the beer that true beer nerds drink? Like, let's get into that a little bit. What type of beer would you say is, like, if you're a true beer fan, like, this is what you should be drinking? Whether it's style, whether it's, you know, brewery, whether it's whatever. What do you guys think?
Okay, so there's I'm going to say that there's three types of main beer geeks in San Diego County. There are the cellaring type of geeks that are buying beers that we don't even drink right now. We just put them in our closet or in our fridge, and we think that we know better than the brewer and that the beer is actually going to be better in a year, two, three, four, 10 years. I kind of fall into that one.
Gotcha.
Not actually on purpose, just what happened in my life. Then there is the brewery-only type of beer geek, which is what the breweries actually want, which is people that come to – that go to breweries all the time. That's what they love to do. They love to go brewery hopping, and they drink the beer right at the brewery. It's the freshest. It's exactly as the brewer intended for you to drink it. Then we have this whole new class of people that just showed up this year, where they are what we're calling line standers. These are people that are like, oh, there's a beer release this Saturday that no one else is going to have. I'm going to stand in that 3-hour line to be one of those people that gets those one of those 2 or 3, 4 packs, so that I can put that on my Instagram and be like, see, motherfuckers, I got a beer you can't get. So those are the main type of beer geeks in San Diego County. I kind of fall. I have a little bit of toes in all of those pools. I have 200 or 300 bottles at my house that, you know, will be fine in 2 or 3 years whenever I get to them. I definitely love brewery hopping, and it's something I really enjoy doing, is going to a brewery, feeling the atmosphere, getting the experience that the brewery intended for you to have while you're drinking their beer at its optimum freshness and served the way they want it served. And then I'm also like the first person that's going to text my friend that I know is in line to be like, hey, dude, get me one of those 4-packs. So it's hard for me to put myself in any one category. I'm going to call myself an omni beer geek. I love it all. But I won't wait in line. Right. I'll gladly glom on to you waiting in line, friend of mine. I'll gladly PayPal you extra money for doing that. I can't stand in a 2-hour line just to get a beer that, you know, really I have a week and a half to drink.
Yeah. You know, and that first beer type that you listed, that sounds dangerously close to what a wine person would be. You know what I mean?
Very good equivalency. Also, like the type of toy collector that never opens a fucking toy. They just buy it and put the pretty box on their shelf.
Right.
Like, there's no way to know for sure that when I get to the beers that are in my fridge and in my closet, that they'll be better. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they've got some oxidation. Sometimes the beer was better when it was released. I mean, it's all a crapshoot. There are many beers, especially like a very high alcohol percentage, heavily flavored stout type of beer. Those age probably the second best behind like real traditional Belgian gooses, but most people in America aren't really familiar with those. Thankfully, that's why I can still buy them at bottle shops. But that being said, you know, so there are certain types of beers that you can like bet on that will definitely age well. Then there's a lot of the beers that we're putting away today that, you know, probably be okay. But, you know, it's a guessing game. So a lot of factors go into it. The higher the ABV, the longer it can age. If it's sour, a real sour beer, not like a kettle sour, like the Toolbox beer you're drinking is more of a mixed fermentation type of beer where they've got actual bacteria in it. Those beers morph and change because the bacteria keeps eating proteins and sugars in the beer, and it keeps producing more alcohol and more off flavors. So, you know, you just have to be knowledgeable about the products you're buying if you're considering cellaring them. It's also very expensive. So, like, if you buy a beer that you want to technically cellar properly, that temperature is 55. So now you're paying electricity for 2 years on keeping that beer in a fridge that's set at 55. But you made a great equivalency. Very, very similar to wine people that have, you know, a huge cellar.
Definitely. And the other thing I want to say is I'm not that kind of beer person at all, but I do have a couple of beers that Tim gave me back in like July that are still in my parents' fridge in California. So
well, that's another.
We'll see how those taste.
And I don't think that those are going to age well. Those were Mother Earth Cali Creamin' cans.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not aging well, I don't think.
Yeah, go ahead and let
Are they
those
still
die.
Drinkable? They're still drinkable, right?
I mean, they're not going to poison you, but what's drinkable is a very gray area. I would not recommend drinking a 2-year-old Cali Creamin'. That being said, maybe for science.
I mean, he gave me those 6 months ago. I don't know if, not 2 years ago. So I guess we'll have to see. I'll have to like record that. Maybe if it turns out to be terrible, I'll play it on the show.
6 months might be okay. I would say you're definitely gonna. It's definitely not gonna be fresh. It's definitely not gonna be what it's supposed to be. But it might not be horrid.
Right. Yeah. I guess I'll have to. I'll just have to try it. Really.
So I find myself at my core, I'm the brewery kind of beer fan. I like to go to the breweries, spend a lot of time there. That's why Adrian even referenced that in the beginning, drink them fresh and all that. But I'm finding myself sneaking into the lines. I've never actually stood in line for 2 hours, which is kind of nice. But like the Monkish beers and then knowing what I can get for them, because I'm more of the trade it. I don't really even care about drinking it, but I know that I can get really cool stuff that isn't out here otherwise. It's like kind of sometimes too tempting. But I do have a question for you as the cellar guru here. So, I happen to have a couple of, like bourbon barrel aged. It's the Fremont Dark Star with coffee. I bought a couple of them. They were cold when I bought them. I put them directly into my fridge here. I was kind of hoping to age one. What do you think about the likelihood of like bringing one to cellar temperature, or should I just leave them in the fridge and forget it?
Okay, so that particular beer is very good for aging. It's very durable. It's not going to all of a sudden be ruined because of one temperature swing. So if it was me, I always want to drink one fresh. So now you've got it in your mind. You know what the beer was.
Yeah.
But absolutely no problem if you live in Southern California, just take that beer out of your fridge and put it in your closet.
Okay.
You know, especially that type of a beer that's going to be over 10%, a heavily flavored stout. It's definitely going to morph and change. I would say in your closet at, you know, ambient 70-ish degrees, you've got a good year and a half. If you put that in a temperature-controlled, like, wine fridge-ish thing that was holding it at 55, you could push that out 2-3 years probably without any degradation of the beer. So just to keep that in mind, but in your regular old closet here in Southern California, at least a year, no problem. Don't even sweat it.
Yeah, because I had one to try, and now I found two more after that, and then I was like, ooh, but they were already cold in the fridge, and I was just, you know, I was a little worried. I didn't want to skunk these beers on accident because I'm trying to bring them to cellar temperature so I can wait a year.
Yeah, so you're definitely not going to skunk the beer. I mean, some things to keep in mind. The prominence of the coffee flavors are going to fade. Any other flavorings that are in there are going to kind of meld. So I find it really helps the bourbon barrel aged bourbon barrel quality flavor to wait a little bit. It takes a little heat out of it. So, you know, it's going to be different, but it's not going to be bad at all. And in particular, Fremont makes amazing freaking stouts that age very well. I've had several that were 2-3 years old, aged, you know, in a properly in like a 50-55 degree type of condition. But that being said, you picked a very safe beer to do this type of experiment with.
Nice. All right. Because, I haven't done a lot of cellar just because I get excited for drinking them. I mean, I do enjoy beers that are kind of historically okay to be cellared. I mean, it is a mix of, you know, I'm still a moderately young man. Like, I'm not super, so I haven't had like a bunch of extra disposable income to spend on beers that I'm not going to drink for a year on top of just being excited to taste them. But now I'm like slowly kind of dipping my toe in the idea of, well, maybe I will kind of build up a cellar and have some beers waiting. And how dangerous is that? Like on your like kind of history, like how quickly do you think it gets out of control when you're starting to dip your toes into aging and cellaring beers this way?
So it took me about a year to get out of hand. So 3 or 4 years ago, I probably had 85, say-ish, bottles throughout 3 different fridges and some portion of my closet. My wife was going to state at the time. We were pretty broke. So like there was like a 2-year period where I didn't really buy many beers to age. Then she got out of school, got a fucking awesome job. We have tons of expendable income, and I went ballistic on every exclusive bottle release in San Diego County for a good 9 months. And now I have over 250. In the last year, I have had 2 what I call bottleless bottle shares, where I invite all my friends over. I tell them, don't bring a single bottle or can of beer. Just come and drink mine. Between those 2 bottle shares, we drank 150 bottles of my own beer, probably in the $1,500 range of a value. And I still have over 200. So it can get out of hand real fucking quick. And then, like, how do you track all this crap? How do you even know what's in the back of your fridge? That takes effort. So, you know, it really comes down to, do you really like beer enough to catalog it, track it, time it, label it? I mean, a lot of these beers don't have dates on the bottle, so you got to kind of put your own date on them. Otherwise, you're risking that investment you put in that purchase.
And I'll counter a little bit by saying, this last year, and I'm stopping it now, but this last year I was the person that went to all of the releases at Pure, Bergen, Michler, all of that. So Michler did weekly can releases. So you can spend a ton of money on those new shiny 4-pack of cans, right? 16, 18, 20, 22, $25 a 4-pack. And so even though, you know, aging can get expensive and is time consuming, doing those weekly or, you know, twice a month can releases is more expensive in some cases, and you have to drink the beer right away because a lot of it is the new hazy style IPAs. So drink those within 3 weeks if you can.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now, and that's why I'm like just kind of annoyed and thinking more like, why don't I just start putting this money on some bottles that can sit and I can enjoy them over the course of time and not feel almost rushed to drink them as quick as I can just because they're what came out that week or whatever. Because, yeah, Michler's doing one a week, right? I mean, that's – or more than one a week, but they're releasing at least something every week, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
every Saturday they're releasing some sort of release. Sometimes it's 1 beer, sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 4, sometimes it's actually 6 or 8. And some of them are bottles, some of them are 4-packs, some are single cans. Pure and – yeah, I think Michler have done single cans at, $8 for a 16.
you know, so it's it, or even sometimes $16 for a 16. So it's, and yeah, they're barrel aged stouts, but, and they're huge beers, but, you know, it's got $1 an ounce for a beer is, that's kind of crazy.
Ah, well, I mean, okay, so the final thing I wanted to get into, and I feel like I'm already, we're already cutting it dangerously close, but, Brian, you talk a lot about San Diego County has all the best possible beer that you could ever want. I'm not going to, I hate to use this word because it seems like it's slightly derogatory, but you come across like a slight San Diego beer homer. Greg, a little bit less.
Slight?
Yeah, okay.
I'm trying for much more than that.
Okay, so you don't take any offense to that. Greg, you come across slightly less, but definitely a big SD fan. Greg, are you San Diego born and raised as well? Or?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you've been in San Diego your entire life. Brian, I assume the same thing. Have either of you guys ever delved in living outside of San Diego County?
Technically, I was born in San Clemente, but my parents moved down here when I was 3. I have never lived anywhere else. I have visited other places and never had any inkling of leaving San Diego.
Okay.
Well, and here's the thing, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but you know, we've both visited places and we've visited some amazing breweries, especially the ones that, you know, you always hear about. But I've also been to cities for work. Like I've gone out to very, very small cities on the East Coast or, you know, different areas that, you know, I go and they have 3 or 4 breweries. And maybe one of them is producing good beer, and the other three is maybe either acceptable or even just downright, I'm not finishing that flight kind of thing. So, you know, it is really tough when you come from this city to go other places. But however, I will say there is amazing beer being brewed all over the U.S. and other countries as well. You know, we don't get a ton of other, you know, because we are so big, because we have over 140 breweries, we don't see a ton of outside beer other than the big guys that people know about, you know, Russian River and so forth. But, yeah, it's tough going somewhere else and drinking other beer because we just have a lot of really great places here in the city.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys obviously I ran into both of you in San Diego, and I spent a lot of time in San Diego this summer primarily just for beer, if I'm being perfectly honest. So, yeah, I totally get it. And, you know, here in L.A., I take no umbrage with people who are, like, super proud of being, you know, San Diego beer fans. Because to me, it's like I like all the breweries that take me from L.A. into Orange County and then from Orange County into San Diego. So it all just feels like one beer scene to me because I drive, you know, around so much here in Southern California. But one interesting one, as you mentioned, San Clemente is obviously there's Pizza Port. They have roots in San Diego for sure. But the other one is Artifacts. They seem to be kind of in between. I hear a lot of Orange County beer people kind of trying to claim them, and they seem to pretty staunchly consider themselves San Diego. Where do you think you guys come down on that? Don't be too biased, being that you are in San Diego.
It's clear that Artifacts is an OC brewery to us. They're okay. Fucking awesome. They make great beer. I believe some of their ownership and staff have some San Diego roots, so that's where kind of that grayish line comes from. They are definitely making beer that could stand on its own here in San Diego County for sure. But once you're north of Pendleton, you're not in San Diego.
And okay. Don't get me wrong, we would love a tasting room of Artifacts or Monkish or any of them to come down here, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to talk to them.
I mean if we could trade, you know, like if we could take Monkish and Artifacts and a few Ennoble and maybe Bottle Logic for like 5 breweries to be named later, I would approve that trade today.
All right. Hey, that seems fair. Well, I guess we'll go take another break, and then when we come back, Adrian, you know what time it is.
Oh, yeah. It'll be time for the final question.
All right.
Ooh, perfect. So ominous.
Play Simulations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on 3 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Puri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes, and while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available on PlaceTobeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceTobeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceTobeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, we're back, and I just opened up. I thought it was a San Diego beer for a second because it's McKellar, but I think this is McKellar from, not Denmark. Where are they at? Either way, it's the ramen beer, which I really enjoy. But now that we're back, it is time for... Adrian, what's it time for?
The final question.
Thank you for filling as I take a delicious sip of this beer. All right, guys. So I keep intentionally starting with Greg. But I think what we're going to do this time is we're going to start with Brian. Brian, someone who only knows you for the SD Beer Talk and the Sore Eye Suds kind of online persona that you have, what would be something that they find out about you that would be shocking?
I don't know. Would finding out that I'm a pyrotechnician be shocking? I don't know. I'm so open with my life online that I it's hard for me to come at these. I graduated from the San Diego State Craft Beer Certification Program Level 2.
Nice.
I'm a massive cat guy.
Oh, that's interesting.
I am a construction manager in my real life. I do a lot of repairs and improvements for breweries outside of that. I think my coolest hobby to me is my pyrotechnic stuff. I shoot the Aztec cannon. So every time the San Diego State Aztecs score a touchdown, I'm the guy on the side of the field shooting the cannon.
Nice. That's really cool.
I love that fucking gig. It's the best gig ever. I get to see every game on the field the whole time. I'm a gun nut. I like to go out in the desert and shoot things and blow things up. Kind of all wrapped up in that same pyrotechnic thing.
I would say that's pretty interesting because to me, you come across, you know, you're a Southern California, come across like you're probably a liberal kind of guy, but you're also into like explosions and guns and stuff. So yeah, I wouldn't have expected that.
That's the best kind of liberal, Tim.
I am extremely liberal. I definitely smoke the funny cigarettes. I definitely drink too much. I often get told I should play Santa Claus. I don't know. Any of that shocking? For me, it's just my life and day-to-day stuff. So I'm going to Jamaica at the end of the year for my 20th wedding anniversary. That's going to be fun.
Wow.
Other than that, man, I really enjoy not having children so that I can have cool hobbies.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm in the same boat. So
yeah, you know who else likes to blow things up? Tom Likas, radio legend Tom Likas. Blow me up, Tom.
All right, Greg, same question.
So some of you might not know is that I have been bowling since I was 10 years old in, you know, leagues at the time. And I met my wife at a bowling league in high school. We went to different high schools, but we met at the bowling alley and all of that. She actually concocted a whole big thing. We had some similar friends in the bowling league. So she concocted this whole thing where her date had canceled on her during a sophomore dance. And I was asked to basically take her to the dance as a chaperone. Little did I know that she actually liked me. And the whole thing was a fake story to get me to take her to the dance.
Oh. That sounds like the plot of some kind of a 90s teen romance movie.
That
would be 1998 or so, 1997 actually. So perfect. Yeah, that you're that's right about there.
That sounds like a Drew Barrymore film for sure.
Yes, Drew Barrymore. Yeah.
And to kind of wrap the whole thing around, on our first dating anniversary, I gave her a pearl ring, which she really likes pearls. She at some point when we moved, she actually broke the ring and lost the pearl. I ended up finding it when we were moving down the stairs. I kept it and then made that into her engagement ring, basically, you know, into a new ring, of course. And then I proposed to her at a bowling alley, and we stopped the entire league for them to give me a fake or to give us a fake couples award. We actually stopped in the middle of a game two. We stopped everyone. They announced it over the loudspeaker, and instead of giving the award, I got down on one knee and proposed to her on the lanes during league, which was crazy. But yeah,
she became your wife. Are you still married to her?
Yes, we are.
Perfect.
So it's been 13 years so far. So
that's a pretty amazing story. On because nowadays it's like, how'd you meet? Oh, online on Tinder.
Plenty of exactly.
But I swiped right or left or whatever you have to do for that. I don't know.
You met her long before swiping meant something completely different, I think, you know?
Right. Yeah. Swiping was a whole different thing back then.
Back in our day, swiping was about stealing things. Now it's just
stealing. Yeah, but the only thing that hearts. Greg stole was he stole his lady's heart there at the bowling alley. So.
And a wallet from Rite Aid.
You know, I stole a wallet from a Walmart once.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
No, Adrian. We're not getting into that. We've kept these gentlemen too long. Thank you so much, guys. I feel like we barely scratched the surface on a lot of stuff. There were still topics I wanted to get into, but unfortunately, we only have so much time. Again, thank you so much. Go ahead and plug whatever you want to plug. You can pick which order you guys start. This is free form. This is all your time.
So first off, we'll definitely come back. Anytime you ask us, we'll be there for you. So please, we'll get into more deep topics next time.
Well, thank you.
Much appreciated.
SDBeerTalk.com. You can find us, SDBeerTalk, all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Untapped, like we were talking about earlier. Apple Podcasts, just search for San Diego Beer. We're going to be one of the top results there. Stitcher, of course. You can listen on our website if you want to. And you guys, I'm sure, plug all this stuff the same thing. Any podcast app that Google, Android, or iOS has, you can find us there. Other than that, Brian, where's your stuff at?
So you can find me at SoraiSuds.com. All of my social media is SoraiSuds. If you happen to be in San Diego and you're listening to this show, please come out to Soraya Sudsmith. This is my holiday party / food drive. It benefits the San Diego Food Bank. It'll be at Society Brewing December 9th at 5 p.m. For every 50 pounds of food you donate, you get an entry into the drawing. We'll have over 20 giveaways. Just a great night of fun, holiday fun. Wear an ugly Christmas sweater. There'll be an ugly Christmas sweater contest. And if any of that is not enough, you can always reach us at feedback@sdbeertalk.com.
And that Soraya Sudsmith is definitely a super enticing event. I was excited to go, and then unfortunately I got to watch my niece that day. So unfortunately I will not be making it this year, but I'm going to be planning on it next year. Hopefully I'll be able to make it out because it does sound like a super cool event for a super good cause. Adrian, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, so if you follow me on Twitter and Untapped, both at Del Boots. Follow us, follow Tim, the show at Lucha Undead on Untapped and Twitter, and that's it. I think there's one more thing, Tim, that you always like to go out on, isn't there?
Oh, there is. But This is going to be interesting, actually, now that I think about it. But before we go, too, I also just want to mention I'm going to be on Psychology is Dead pretty shortly. That's on the Place to Be Nation podcast network with Quentin. We're going to be doing our yearly top 50 wrestlers of the year. This is the second year, so we're making it an annual thing. Hopefully this time it does not go for 8 hours like it did last year. We're going to make it a lot more concise. Who am I kidding? That's definitely not what's going to happen. But that should be coming out shortly, so get excited for that. But as always, the most important things in life are the three B's, and that does not include the 3B Zine podcast, which I know you guys are friends of.
We love 3B Zine. They're very good friends of ours.
But this week, those three B's, I guess, are going to be good beers, obviously, with our guest tonight. Good barrel-aged stouts, and I guess, I don't know, what good beards, because I know both of you guys have a good couple of beards.
Yes!
There we go.
And so good night, everybody.
Thank you.